Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Troubled Snap Podcast. I'm your host, Jay File. Tyler Hayward, co-host, will join me very shortly. We're going to talk about a special guest on our show this week. We're excited about it. Former 2000 national champion, Big Al Anagagne, will join our show. He's in Paris right now. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Obviously, we will talk some of the COVID-19 stuff, but primarily we'll talk about the 2000 national championship team that he was a part of for the Michigan State Spartans. Again, 20 years. 20 years, it's amazing. You blink in, and you have that situation. 20 years ago, the national championship team, and Big Al Anagagne will join us. And now Tyler's with us, and we'll talk. We'll let him bring this more to our attention. Tyler, again, talk about how this worked out, how you got Big Al Anagagne to join us this week.
Well, I mean, I just thought it was a good opportunity to have, someone like him on. Obviously, this week is going to be the 20th anniversary of that national championship team. And I figured it would be a good opportunity to, talk to him about what it was like to go through whatever he went through in 2000, additionally, I think it'd be a great opportunity to see the differences in Tom Izzo, because ultimately Michigan State basketball is kind of like a family. You see that with how often Mateen and Magic and all those guys come back. Talk about what young Izzo was like as opposed to Izzo right now. So that's cool, but be an awesome way for us to get a little bit more perspective about what's going on in the world as he is currently stationed in Paris, and how they're ultimately handling the same type of stuff that we're all going through here in the States. And so, I couldn't think of a better guy really to have on the show than Big Al himself. And I think it's going to be very insightful. And I'm definitely looking forward to this, to having the opportunity to talk with him. Once we schedule an official date for that, we will post it on our Facebook page per usual. But I'll go ahead and I'll get working on that as soon as we wrap up here.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Tyler gets another fantastic special guest on our show. Again, look up the Facebook page, Trouble with Snap Podcast. Tyler's been posting some great stuff as far as past games, and he had a good post earlier. What was some of the games we've watched? I mean, it's a weird time, but it's a interesting
time. I did watch
Trouble
with the Snap yesterday. In fact, I know my daughter's just 7 months old, but I did introduce her to the Trouble with the Snap game, and so I thought that that was a kind of cool.
Well, I mean, that's the reason for the show. I mean, besides, we've already had this on for a while, but that game was everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
the whole
really
rebrand, it really kind of signifies everything that this rivalry is about in regards to, A, it was close, B, it's been a situation where, it was a little pushing and shoving, and I mean, it wasn't the most hostile game that I've seen between these two, but there was definitely a little bit of a brawl going on. And it was also, the introduction of Jim Harbaugh as the head coach there. And so throughout the course of the rivalry. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that this was a big turning point-ish type game. And I mean, that's obviously the reason why we rebranded it the way that we did.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. It was a huge game, an instrumental game in this rivalry, an instrumental game, obviously, to our show. But most importantly, we are excited about the present, and that is now having Big Al Anagagne on our show. It's been 20 years since the 2000 national championship team that the Michigan State Spartans had. But to really
crazy.
Talk about
20
football,
years, man. I still remember where I was.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool they brought back the throwback.
Yeah, I remember I got a phone call from my stepdad. He was out in Vegas at the time, and I was over at my grandparents' house, and he goes, "Hey, so should I put $50 on state or not?"
It's just fun. I mean, it's fun to talk about the past games. That's all we have right now. It's fun to talk about past players, seasons. And Big Al being on the show is just awesome. But to stay on with football, because we have a lot of football to talk about today on the show.
Oh,
you mentioned something that, you mentioned the Jim Harbaugh, the Trouble with Snap game, first year. Well, now Mel Tucker in his first year We'll see what he can do in his first season if we do have college football. Praise the Lord if we do. It's just a crazy time. But let's talk about football. Spring practice, obviously missing for all teams. Detrimental. I mean, it's secondary. It's not the priority thing that matters the most right now. But for us, it's important. It's important because we got to talk about this. And this is going to be tough. Michigan State, we'll talk on that. We've talked a lot about Michigan prepping. Let's talk Michigan State. I know that you're worried. Fans should be, and I'm sure the program's worried. This is a tough time to not have spring practice for your first year coach. But talk about some things that make you really worry, but also talk about what you think will be a positive. In my opinion, Tyler, before you start, is I think that, hey, we're all on the same page here. I mean, we're all on the same level, I should say, where every team's not practicing. So all teams are going to struggle. But talk about why it's going to be a problem for Michigan State, but also talk about why fans should say, okay, we still have this coming, and we're going to be all right.
Okay, well, it's a problem for State for we only got a half hour through this when we go through blog talk, so I don't know if we got really the time to talk about all the problems. But, look, there's the schedule is brutal. We've talked about that. Toledo, BYU, and Miami, obviously we don't know if the season's going to go on as planned, if some of the non-conference stuff's going to get nixed, how that's going to play out. But we've got a between, like, the schedule – between the youth on the team, you know, Michigan State is losing three of the starters on a really good defensive line. And, you know, all three of them are going to get opportunities in the NFL. You're losing Joe Bocci, though. Obviously he was gone the second half of the season last year. You're losing Josiah Scott, who was the best corner in what was a really weak secondary. I think the secondary is actually going to improve a little bit with Julian Barnett back there. But then you're also – you're going through what Michigan is going through. You know, the biggest problem for Michigan, in addition to their offensive line, is, hey, is it going to be Milton or McCaffrey? I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's McCaffrey. But Michigan State's got three quarterbacks that are all kind of fighting for that starting job. And to top it all off, with all of the youth that Michigan State has, because this is a really young team, and I think in about 2 or 3 years they'll have an opportunity to compete for a Big Ten championship should things hold. Mel Tucker can't look at these guys, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, D'Antonio was leaving was at a very inopportune time, even if things kind of went as planned and Michigan State was able to land a guy like Luke Fickell. That kind of blew up, and then he had a little bit more of a delay with Tucker finally signing on the dotted line. And then by the time he does, all of a sudden you can't even see these guys lift weights and bench press, let alone get out there for 7-on-7s or any of those types of things. And you have to sit there and you hear Mel Tucker, he's very vocal with how he uses social media and everything else. And I think it's a good opportunity to take a look at the insight that, you know, not just him, but all these coaches are going through, but he hasn't had an opportunity to even look at the players. And so I think when you're trying to familiarize yourself with a brand new team, with a brand new group of guys, you know, it becomes a little more difficult, especially when you have a defensive coordinator who you haven't worked with before, even though, you know, he's got a very good resume to back up the hiring, but and Scotty Hazleton. But it's just a really awkward situation. Now, ultimately, the one positive that I can think about this is Mel Tucker got his start at Michigan State. He was under Nick Saban. Saban didn't really have the mentality that D'Antonio does with the us against the world type deal, but I think that Tucker can obviously carry that in to the season, given the youth and given the schedule and given the fact that really Mel Tucker has no idea about 50% of his starting lineup.
Well, there's no question. I think the great thing I would say is a positive is for the fan base primarily. For the program and team, there's no positive there really. I mean, you could try to spin it any way you want. This is not a positive for Michigan State or really any program to not practice. It's definitely not a positive if you're a new coach and you have a new staff and you don't have familiarity with your players like Tyler mentioned. But I do think a positive for the fan base is this will now make you sit back and say, okay, we have to give this time. This guy has not even had spring practice. This could be a rough year. I know a lot of Spartan fans, there's a lot of negativity because they don't know and they think this could be a rough year because of all the things that Tyler's mentioned, scheduling and all the things of not knowing your players and all that. But really what it does is, okay, let's just see how this first year goes. You know, let's not have crazy high expectations, but maybe we're going to be shocked. They may have a good year. That's the attitude that Michigan State fans should have. For Michigan's side, there is familiarity, but like Tyler said, I mean, offensive line, you got four guys you got to replace. It's very similar to what Michigan State has on the defensive line. You got to replace some really good players. And I think that, you know, your front line is everything. You know, your offensive line,
right.
You know, and defensive line is everything in college football and football in general. So both programs are going to have to really figure out what to do. Number one, Michigan State on defensive line, Michigan on offensive line. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough year. I mean, it really is. And we also don't know what's even going to happen because we don't know what they're going to do with non-conference games. I know that these are just rumblings and these are, you know, statements and opinions. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit made a huge statement where he said he thought he'd be shocked if we even have football this year. I don't know if we should go that far. Some of the things I've been hearing from sources here is there's a very high possibility that we will not have non-conference games. The reason why I think that is a strong possibility is because we haven't had spring practice. There's a lot of things that are going to take place with scheduling. We don't know what other sports are going to do. That's huge because now you're talking TV contracts and all these different things with scheduling events. We've got a whole lot of questions that are going to have to be answered all summer, and we'll be there to do that for you guys with sources we have and information we have. But again, to keep it just based on the football, this is going to be a rough year. I mean, I really think Michigan's going to have their work cut out for that because they don't know who will start out on offense line. And, yeah, I'm worried. And when Tyler mentioned the quarterback situation, as much as I have a little confidence because McCaffrey's played and also Milton's very, very talented, they haven't had any experience really to run a team. And when you have a new offensive line and you haven't had the experience to be the starting quarterback, oh, boy. I mean, Ohio State doesn't have that problem because, number one, they're always loaded. Number two, they got Justin Fields back, you know, so they have, you know, they have a lot of confidence that Justin Fields can step right in and say, hey, I only need a couple of days of practice. Let's just have a couple of days of practice and I'll be ready for that first game. So it'll be really interesting. I mean, it really will. I want to talk about what could happen if they don't go non-conference. Because I do think that's going to happen, Tyler. I mean, that's just my opinion, but talk about the, yeah. This could be crazy for the Big Ten Conference and all conferences. I really can see us starting the season late. Do you think that could be a positive in a way for Michigan State? I mean, okay, now we just have conference games. We don't have non-conference schedule. Those are tough non-conference games, by the way, for Michigan State and Miami and going to BYU. I think it would be an advantage in a way. Yeah, I think it'd be a little bit of an advantage.
I mean, given the circumstances it is, I mean, straight up, it's not an advantage because, like I said, Mel Tucker's still got to familiarize himself with his staff, you know, let alone the team itself. You know, yeah, obviously he hired Courtney Hawkins, who, you know, was a really good receiver at Michigan State, and he's got guys who have worked together on defense, and Harlan Barnett's the defensive backs coach. Trestle's the linebacker, or Trestle's actually the safety. And then you have Burton on the defensive line, and there's still some things that need to be worked out as far as positioning of the staff goes. But he really doesn't know his staff, really doesn't know his players. I think it logistically does cause a few problems. I think if this is the case, they'll extend fall tryouts or fall workouts. They'll extend that time across the nation, and so maybe he'll have an opportunity to be like, hey, you know what, Peyton Thorne is my guy. Hey, Julian Burnett's playing on defense instead of offense this year, but he'll probably be in there occasionally. You know, he can figure out how he wants to approach this team. And I think really there's only one position group that's mostly set. Well, two, actually, because I do think even though they lost three guys on the defensive line, there are a couple guys who are ready to step up. But between the offensive and defensive line, those are the two spots where Michigan State's really the most set. And for him to be able to at least figure out a couple of things before the season starts would be huge. Now, logistically, it would cause a problem because, while Michigan State would be bumping the non-conference games, Northwestern still technically scheduled the first game of the year. And so
yeah,
you would
about
need
to
bump
ask,
that back.
What do you do with that?
Yeah. And you would need to work with that a little bit. And so, look, I don't work in an athletic department. I don't know exactly what all goes on there. But I do know there are some changes that would need to be made and that's going to put a lot of pressure on athletic departments across the entire country, especially if they decide to move things forward or backward or keep things the same and just reposition the non-conference games. Look, admittedly, I would love for the SEC to not get a glorified bye in week 10, but
yeah.
that's
true.
The extent of the positives that come out of everything that's going on right now.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, we understand it's only April, but we also understand how much time that is put into this whole thing. And there's other sports you got to deal with, and that's the reason why I mentioned that. You know,
right,
we don't know what's
going
to happen.
That's going to put the pressure on the athletic department too. Not only just the football stuff, but when you look at the football stuff, I think for the space for hotels, I mean, these are the biggest teams. This is the most profitable in everything else. Ultimately, like, football is king in college, and this is going to take precedent over whatever other sports are going on that you would also need to try to fit into this.
Yeah, I think the big concern, Tyler, I have is the TV contracts. Let's just say this is an example, and a couple guys out here have mentioned this, that what are you going to do with, okay, if they push baseball back? Now you got to have certain baseball games that are on ESPN or you know, you have to schedule a certain way. Where, look, we have that anyway with the playoffs. You know, you get to October, we have playoff baseball, and we're working around that. But the big question out here was, you know, because I talked to a few guys, you know, associated with the athletic departments and what they hear. And look, it's all here. He says, she said stuff. But they have mentioned this multiple times to me that what are you going to do with TV contracts with other sports, not just in college, but the professional, right? So everything's TV related. That's the big moneymaker, obviously. What do you do? The Big Ten Network may have a huge part of this where they're going to maybe have to broadcast a lot more. Or what do you do with ESPN, certain games? How do you schedule that? Okay, now we got to fit in a darn baseball season. How do we, you know, really work around everything to get all these things on television and scheduled properly? That's why it's going to take time. A lot of people feel that way. So we don't know. There's a lot of things we'll find out. Every single day seems like it's different. We hear things. We read things. We see things. We'll know more. We'll keep you all posted on that. We don't like to get too much into the opinionated stuff. You know, we would like to hit
the
more facts, but the fact
is we want what's going on.
We're
opinions based upon what's going on.
Right, and what's going on right now is we don't have a whole lot of answers. I mean, we don't understand fully what will take place for college football. We don't know what will take place with the other sports that we don't cover as much. So we'll see. To keep it based on just the teams, the worry for me on Michigan then is, you know, this is a program that's done well. You know, they've won a lot of games. They've had some success, not nearly enough success for this fan base. I worry that because of that mentality, you know, I just said it about Michigan State where I think the fans, you know, they need to maybe take a backseat on expectations this year. I think Michigan probably needs to feel the same way. I think this is going to be a complete revamped offensive line. There's going to be pieces that they're missing that are very valuable. LeVert Hill will be missed a lot. I mean, when you have him and Ambry Thomas out there, yeah, you got two corners that can really shut guys down at times. LeVert Hill's gone. Khalik Hudson, as much as he's had some points where I thought he wasn't good in coverage, he was fantastic at Michigan, you know, at his Viper linebacker position, whatever they wanted to call him. He was all over the field, and obviously he showed how good he was in the combine. You know, you lose certain guys that it matters. You know, you lose Josh Metellus. Josh Metellus, you know, got beat a couple times deep, but, you know, usually it was only against great players like K.J. Hamler or what Ohio State provided. He's a big piece. Great in run stop. You got to fill that void. I think Daxton Hill will come in and fill that void, but again, he's only going to be a sophomore. Vincent Gray was very good last year, but he's not LeVert Hill. Let's just be honest. There's going to be a lot of pieces that Michigan has to make up for. And by the way, you lose Donovan Peoples-Jones. You know, that's another guy. It's another guy. You lose Sean McEwen at tight end. These are big pieces. And I think the skill position spots for Michigan, Tyler, they'll be okay on offense. You know, when you have Nico Collins, Ronnie Bell, you have the stable of running backs, you bring Chris Evans back, I think you have a lot of reason to be excited. I mean, I watched a lot of games recently. Giles Jackson was a huge piece. Giles Jackson will be back, only a sophomore. But again, when you lose guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones, when you lose guys like LeVert Hill, those are big-time NFL players, Khalik Hudson, a lot to make up for there. Touch on Michigan a little bit, Tyler. I know that.
It's something where you look at those types of guys, and look, losing them is huge, but at the rate that Michigan has been at least recruiting, you know, they're not to the point where they should just be able to reload like Ohio State. You know, you sit there and you're like, God, Ohio State's losing this guy, that guy, everybody else, and God, what are they going to do? And then the next year, they're even better than they were. And I don't – obviously, Michigan's not to that point as far as recruiting goes, but they're to a point at least where they should at least be able to put a sustainable product out on the field at those positions. Now, ultimately, that is a lot of development as well, because like I said, when you're recruiting at the level Ohio State is, you can get the number one overall athlete and put him in the slot, and all of a sudden he's a superstar. And, you know, you got the rest of Big Ten just like, oh, God, we got three more years of this. That's not fair of this one player. And Michigan's obviously not to that point. So a lot of it is on player development. And we'll ultimately see whether or not, you know, those pieces that are plugged into place for a guy like Hudson to fill in, for a guy like Ruiz to fill in, for a guy like DPJ. Again, you talked about what Michigan has at receiver. I think they're going to be fine as well. But are they going to get that same level of production? Is, you know, Giles Jackson going to be able to take that next step? Those are the things that we're looking forward to seeing, ultimately, is the development of the players that replace the ones who left. And is Michigan going to be able to simulate, at least get relatively similar production? Now, we did see a couple things as the season progressed. Last year, we saw them start using their speed and space mentality a little bit more efficiently. Are the running backs going to be able to take that next step as well? So you literally have no idea how to attack defensively, because as long as McCaffrey can get the ball to the receivers, like we said, the receivers are going to be fine. Guy like Charbonnet, who looked really good at times last year, you know, if he's able to take that next step, as long as McCaffrey can get the ball to those guys, you don't know, okay, do we need to defend the pass or do we need to defend the run? And then you throw in another wrinkle with a guy like McCaffrey who can run. Whether or not he can do it when things break down as opposed to when they're designed, which is usually how he was handling that, is going to be something that, again, it's player development. Is McCaffrey going to be able to make plays on the run when things break down? Those are the questions that Michigan needs to answer. It's ultimately just player development and coaching. If they're able to do those, if they're able to simulate the production that they were able to get last year, they'll be fine. Are they going to beat Ohio State? Probably not. Ohio State's in a different class all on their own. They know who their quarterback is. They know who their number one receivers are. They know who their running backs are going to be. They're set, even though Dobbins is gone. Ohio State's as set as anybody else in conference. But Michigan can still make a case. They can still make that push towards, what, 9-0 or 8-0 leading into the Ohio State game, pending whether or not we play conference games. You know, they can make that push. And so we'll ultimately see what happens. But, look, it's all on player development. And how the coaches handle things is going to decide the entire season for Michigan.
Yeah, and that's the worry. The worry is you hit it right on the head with the player development. Now we can't develop our players. That's the worry, because we can't have practice. I mean, that's
It's not even that. It's not even the oh, we can't just have spring and fall practice and stuff like that. It's have they actually developed the players enough to replace them regardless of this? Because, look, these guys are still working out on their own. They're still getting bigger. They still know the drills. They're still doing stuff by themselves outside. They're still doing stuff in their backyard. It doesn't, like, that type of stuff doesn't matter. It's if these players aren't developing, then Michigan's got a problem because that's showing that Harbaugh's doing half the job, and that's recruiting. Because he's killing it on the trail. Can he develop those players? Because ultimately, we haven't seen him develop a quarterback yet.
No, no, he hasn't had a quarterback who's been there that he recruited. Where now he does.
McCaffrey will be the first opportunity,
Right? It'll be the first year where, okay, Jim, you've had this guy in your program that you recruited, that you didn't bring in. This isn't, you know, I mean, in a way, Wilton Spate, but he wasn't recruited by Jim. You know, he was recruited by Brady Hoke. But, you know, and we've seen how that
went. This isn't Rudock. This isn't O'Korn. This isn't Patterson.
Yeah, this is a situation where this guy's been in your program, both the guys that you're looking at. Really even three guys, because you could add, you know, Cade McNamara, but I don't think he has a shot, but they are mentioning him. He is a talented player. But I want to mention this, though, because I have a little bit of experience with this, not fully. The experience that these kids are dealing with is something I've never seen, and nor maybe anyone ever has. I think this is an unprecedented time. So being a preferred walk-on, you know, when I was at Western Michigan, I couldn't work out with the team during the summer. So the rules were in place where I couldn't lift with the team in those summer months. So I had to do my own workouts for a few months. I could still be on the court. I could have open gym with guys. We weren't allowed personal workouts then. I know there's some rules that have changed with college basketball. That was a huge hindrance for me, Tyler, and because I wasn't able to lift with the guys. I didn't understand what the strength and training program was. It's a huge camaraderie, too, when you're around your teammates in the weight room. There's more energy. You understand how the program works. There's a lot of things that take place. So once I got to fall,
I could see where there would be a little bit more energy with Ben Reed.
Yeah, you know, there was. You know, you get to fall practice, right? And then you're like, okay, I don't know what the heck's going on. You know, you're a little confused. You know what's really going to hurt? It's going to hurt the freshmen coming in, who have no understanding of what the program is. That's where the spring practice, these guys that enroll early, is huge. So, you know, those guys are still going to be working out. The positive end also is for those kids is nobody else is working out. Maybe they will have a better opportunity to come in and play. Michigan has some really good freshmen this year that could earn some playing time. Seldon, one of the corners from Belleville High School, he could step in and give Vincent Gray all the work possible and maybe even take his spot. So those are examples of positivity with this thing. But believe me, there's not a whole lot of positive of not having spring practice. Michigan will be all right, you know, but Tyler, like you said, Ohio State is just so much further ahead as far as having guys ready, and I think that's always the problem that really all the teams run into is you're competing against teams like Ohio State who have the best players where you really need practice now to be able to prepare for that. I think that, again, look, Michigan State, and I know that I've been bouncing around this idea or this thought process with Tyler most of the offseason. I think Michigan State's going to be a little better than people think. I think they still have a lot of young players that played last year. I think the offensive line has some experience. And I think all experience is good experience. Some people like to say, oh, well, you know, they lost a lot, though, and they were terrible at times. Well, yeah, maybe at times, but that offensive line, they scored some points. I mean, they moved the ball on the ground. I mean, I watched the Michigan game yesterday than when Michigan State lost, but I thought the offensive line did a great job in the first few quarters. They moved the ball. There was a couple unfortunate situations that made that game get out of hand, but I think offensive line, Michigan State's ready. I think you mentioned Julian Barnett going to the cornerback position. Let me remind people, because watching this game yesterday, Josiah Scott got hurt in that game against Michigan. That was a huge blow. But what it also does is it gets a few other guys prepared, and they didn't do very well, but they had that experience. They had that experience, and it will matter. You know, Antoine Simmons is going to have to be the vocal leader. He'll be back. He's going to have to be key for that defense.
And he'll be an absolute stud.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, in the game yesterday, watching it, I mean, going over it and really breaking it down, he was fantastic in that game at times. I mean, I thought Tyreek Thompson actually was horrific in that game. I mean, he looked terrible. I thought Simmons was the only guy that really, in the linebacking position and secondary, that played well. There was times where Michigan State did a really good job against Michigan. I mean, they really did. I mean, I know that, you know, that game doesn't matter at this point, but it does matter because it's a rivalry game. It's Mel Tucker's first year. What guys played well? What guys are ready for that type of environment? Let's be honest. You know, I want to touch on this because this is our, you know, this is a rivalry show. Mel Tucker has to embrace this rivalry. He really does. He has to have that.
I feel like he already has.
Yeah. He has to bring it.
He had that open Twitter Q&A thing, and I think that he's embraced the rivalry. He said in interviews, too, where, you know what, this is not just another game. This is where he got his coaching start. He understands the importance of it. He worked under Saban. He saw why Saban left, even though at the end of Saban's tenure, they were having a little bit more success than Michigan. Not much, but a little bit, and Craig Jarrett will vocally and vehemently vouch for that. And Mel Tucker is, I'm sure, obviously given the circumstances especially, he's been in contact with Mark D'Antonio. I'm not going off of anything here. I'm not going off of any press reports, and I know we said we're going to keep our opinions to ourselves, ultimately, unless we can back it up with facts. I guarantee you he's talking to D'Antonio because he needs to figure out who he has. You know, what Barnett can do, what Shakir Brown can do, because I think those are ultimately going to be the corners and how they can work together with a guy like Xavier Henderson and, you know, whoever comes in at safety, whether it be Michael Dowell or, please God, no, Trey Person. But those
Who was beat viciously in the game. I mean, watching the game yesterday, he was beat badly.
Well, ultimately, he was the reason why Michigan State lost to Michigan 2 years ago as well. And I'm ultimately just freaking sick of it. But, I mean, you know, he's obviously going to talk about, hey, Naquan Jones is probably going to be a starter because I said at the beginning of last season, Naquan Jones is an Alabama-type level backup.
Yeah.
Because he is just that talented. And he's going to be a starter. And, you know, Jack Camper has spent so much time hurt, and I think he's going to be the next defensive end for Michigan State. He's 6'7". He's a monster. I was really high on him last year. He didn't get an opportunity because of injuries. And so I'm sure he's talking to D'Antonio about what he has, but you know for a fact that D'Antonio's saying this is how you need to embrace that game. And there are there are plenty of traditions that Tucker is taking from D'Antonio. In addition to coming up with his own, bringing his own in, that I think that I think that he'll be fine in how he addresses the game, and I'm excited for that. You know, one of his Q&A questions, hey, what's your thought on Michigan and Harbaugh and this and that, and he just put it with the hashtag, some things are better left unsaid. And so I think he's got
great.
This down. I think he's got it down how he's going to handle this.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great statement because, look, this is everything to Michigan State. And I think what it does is – and, look, Michigan fans got to realize this. This was great for Michigan. The way Mark D'Antonio handled that rivalry was huge for Michigan because we were stagnant. We were – starting to fall off a little bit at the end of the Lloyd Carr era. I think we were starting to, you know, Michigan State was really right there for multiple years. I mean, you can say what you want on the all-time records or who won what and this and that, but if you look back at the past games, that's all we have right now, and I'm so invested in this rivalry like Tyler is. Michigan was really having some tough games there, even against John L. Smith. The problem was John L. Smith just didn't know how to coach. I mean, the players were there and the games were close, but in the end, Lloyd Carr in that
the
program.
The coaches were screwing it up for the kids.
and look, 2004, Michigan State could have or probably should have won the game. 2005, you know, they lost by 3 in overtime. 2006 was, you know, the one
Thanks,
that
John
was Michigan.
Duff.
They were loaded. Yeah, you know, Michigan was loaded in 06. But 07, Michigan State definitely should have won that game. And if a couple things went differently, they probably would have won the game. So this Mark D'Antonio pumping this thing up and getting at this high level of animosity and you know, the pride before, you know, it comes before the fall. I mean, this was great for Michigan in the end, because we went through the hellacious seasons with Rich Rod and Brady. Harbaugh came in and he totally embraced the rivalry, and we got to beat Michigan State, and he doesn't mind saying certain things about Michigan State. I think Mel Tucker has to have a certain attitude, and I will say this. He's going to have to say some things, you know, because that's what really pushed Michigan State forward. Some things are better, you know, left unsaid, and that was a great starting statement. But I think eventually, you know, like Tom Izzo said to John Beilein, you haven't been around here long enough. You know, Mel Tucker will find out real quick how intense this rivalry is and how much hatred there is for Michigan. And he's going to have to embrace it. And I'll say this. I know we're so far away, and gosh, you know, please, Lord, let us have college football and let things get back to normal. That is going to be a big, big game for Mel Tucker at home. And, boy, if he gets that win, that would really, really re-energize the fan base, because that game would change everything. I'm telling you right now, Tyler, I got a question for you. Would you be okay if they lost every game and beat Michigan?
No, absolutely not. And I think that, well, the
no,
rivalry is that. Look. Well, the rivalry is huge and everything along those lines. Mark D'Antonio brought an expectation to Michigan State, and that's to compete. And that's what Mel Tucker has said that he's going to do. And so that's what my expectation is to compete. Now, Michigan State has an opportunity to go 11-1 with that one loss being to Michigan. I'll take it, because you want to know why? Michigan's probably going to lose to Ohio State, and that would make some really interesting tiebreakers if Michigan State can start competing with OSU. So Michigan State would be beating OSU, you know, in a three-way potential tie for the Big Ten. You know what? As long as Michigan State's competing, that's cool. Now, is that to say, no, I don't care what happens? No, absolutely not. I want Mel Tucker to beat the piss out of Jim Harbaugh.
Of course. No, you know what, though? You're right. You are right. I'm good with going 1-11 as long as we beat Ohio State. I guess I'm at that level with this thing now, because my hatred for Ohio State is just.
Look, 17 of 18 years will do that to a man.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I we don't have football. We don't have anything right now. It's sports. It's killing us. So we're going to talk about all these scenarios like Tyler did, which is awesome. I love that. Hey, Mel Tucker, if he goes 11-1 in his first year, hey, what the hell? That's a great year. We can't lose to Michigan.
If he wins six games, he deserves a lifetime contract with how young this team is and what they're going against.
Yeah, it's going to be – I think both teams are going to have a rough go at it. But the scary part about all of this is – and look, I hate to say it, but there's got to be a point, maybe eventually Ohio State has a bad season. I mean, that's what's so crazy about this is they just don't. They just don't have that bad season. I mean, if you look at it.
Hold on, I'm taking the paper. All signs point to no.
I mean, it's incredible the run they're on right now from Jim Tressel just – eating up the Big Ten. I think they had 5 straight Big Ten championships. I'm almost positive on that. I have to check. I know 07, yes, 08 they did win it. Yep, 09 they won it.
10 they split.
10 and 11. Yeah, it's like, you know, my goodness, you know, this is it's been an unprecedented run for these guys. And I know that every single year I say, well, they lost this guy, they lost that guy. It's just incredible how they continue to revamp. And I know it's recruiting. I get that. But the ball doesn't always bounce your way, it would seem, right? Even Alabama this year. I mean, Alabama had a great year. Don't get me wrong. But they did have a couple slip-ups, right? I mean, I wouldn't say losing to LSU is a slip-up. But you lose to Auburn, that was a slip-up. You know, that was a huge slip-up. I mean, Ohio State's had those games where, look, Iowa beat the living crap out of them a couple years ago. Purdue smacked them in Urban's last year 2 years ago. It's like they have maybe that one game, but Tyler, I mean, are they eventually going to have a season where they lose a couple games? I mean, where they just play bad?
I think, and I guess we can close on this because I know we have to get going. We'll see ultimately how Ryan they handles Justin Fields leaving. I'm sure that they'll have another dual threat type pocket passing quarterback in regards to, hey, he's a pocket passer, but you know what, the boy's got legs. I think that they'll have another one of those types of quarterbacks just come in, and it will be the same song and dance that we've seen for the past who knows however long. But no, I really don't see it happening. But I think that transition is going to be the big one. And if they can make that smoothly, well, then Big Ten's SOL for another 20 years. So.
Just don't get me started. I mean, look, 2021, they're absolutely eating up in recruiting right now. They're eating up. I mean, I think the number, Tyler, the other day was they have 13 guys committed or maybe even 15. That's incredible. I mean, it's just insanity. I mean, Michigan finally the other day, I think it was last week, they had two or three really big commitments. I'm not their recruiting genius, but I do know, hey, there's X amount of guys that are committed. This year's class, Michigan, has a very good freshman class coming in. 2020, I think they were, you know, the rankings don't really matter too much to me, but they were, we'll just say top 15 because we just don't know. I mean, they were definitely hovering around top 10 in the nation. You know, they were definitely second in Big Ten or maybe third. You can argue Penn State maybe was better, but it's just crazy. I mean, you know, Ryan Day is actually absolutely dominating in recruiting right now. I mean, Urban Meyer dominated in recruiting, and they are just rolling. Eventually you just think, man, not the wheels falling off even. That's not what we're looking for. It's just, can they lose a couple darn games in the Big Ten? I mean, yeah, can Michigan State beat them in a couple years? And, you know, hey, Michigan finally gets over the hump. They lost two Big Ten games. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's like the Jim Harbaugh staple, losing two Big Ten games. That's like his average or even worse, three games usually. I mean, this program, Ohio State, I mean, one loss is like, oh, the wheels are falling off. And, you know, it's just incredible. It's just, you know, we don't want to do a whole show on it. I think we should, though, is just how dominant that program has been in the last, you know, gosh, 20 years, really, 20 years. I mean, you look at Tressel coming in, and you look at how dominant he was, taking over, beating up on Michigan finally. And then you look at the 5 years in a row at the end of his career, winning the Big Ten or sharing it. And then you look at the 1 year of Fickell being bad, and then boom, Urban comes in. They go undefeated the next year. They go undefeated after being 6-6 the year before. It's just crazy. It's just a crazy run. So I know it's Michigan, Michigan State, you know, Trouble with Snap podcast, but they're a part of our show. I mean, they are a focal point. They're who we're chasing. Michigan State's chasing Ohio State. Michigan's chasing Ohio State. So, yeah, interesting. You know, I think we should do a show on that eventually. End the show, Tyler, again, mention our special guest, and then we'll get out of here. I can't wait for this week to have Big Al on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I think it's going to bring a little bit of a different perspective because you can talk about kind of what's going on overseas, how France is handling everything. And, you know, I think it'd be a great opportunity because, like I said, we can talk about Izzo's development as a coach because he was only a fifth year guy when he won that first title. And, you know, it sucks that he lost the opportunity for number two this year, but, you know, Izzo's developed a lot as a coach. He's become more of a, I'm going to say he tries to jump on the grenade for a lot of his players. You saw that with some of the conversations that reporters were trying to have with Nick Ward, and Izzo would come in and kind of take over how he's handled those situations. He understands what his role is in basketball, how he is one of the all-time greats. And I think it's going to be interesting to talk about that development because Anagani was so young when he started getting recruited by him. And again, with everything going on in the world, a great opportunity to talk about that while at the same time reflecting on what happened 20 years ago this week.
Yep. Again, Tyler Hayward comes through in the clutch as usual, gets another Spartan great on the show. Big Al Anagani will join us this week. We will post that on Troubled Snap Podcast. Me and Tyler both will. So, again, thanks for tuning in. Troubled Snap Podcast, we talked a lot Michigan State and Michigan football today. We will have a lot of past games and also some past seasons. The 2000 National Championship team will be talked about this week with Al Anagani. Again, thanks for tuning in. This is the Troubled Snap Podcast.